thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Hey, church family, I'm so excited to introduce to you our speaker for this morning, President Emeritus of Compassion Canada, Barry Sloan-White. I pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message that's coming to you this morning.
Children are the wealth of the poor. That's an old Haitian proverb that I learned years ago. In Creole, it sounds something like Petit Arrache Marie. You know, Haiti is an amazing country. A lot of people haven't had the privilege of being there. I've been there over 50 times in my career with Compassion. But one particular date in time I will never forget. It's etched in my mind in concrete. January the 12th, 2010, 4:43 p.m. I was downtown Port-au-Prince on my way to my hotel when the earthquake struck. 7.0 on the Richter scale. It was the worst earthquake in the Western Hemisphere in history, recorded history. Some 250,000 people lost their lives. Over 300,000 were injured, and 2 million homeless. Here's a picture of my hotel. Thank God I didn't make it there. Two of my colleagues, David and Dan, were there. They were in the lobby waiting for me. Dan was trapped for 3 days, and David, sadly, lost his life. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Some 36% of its population are under 15, the average age being about 22. And the life expectancy is at an all-time historical high of just 64. If you're lucky enough, if you're fortunate enough to have a job, which only a very few people do in the factories and sweatshops, the minimum wage is $5, not per hour, but per day. And they're not 8-hour days either. When I first started going to Haiti in the early 80s, the average school time of a child, so out of all the child's life, they would spend about 2.5 years in school. In fact, I remember being in one school and I was introduced to some teachers six education. Today, it's gone up a bit, but it's still only 5.2 years. So how do you make sense out of all of this? Where do you find hope in the midst of such abject poverty? I think the answer, in fact, I know the answer is found in Luke 4:18. The setting is Jesus at the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. He gets up and he reads from the scroll of Isaiah, and he says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." As I said, I've been working in Haiti for some 36 years. I've seen firsthand the impact, and I could tell you stories that would absolutely blow your mind. You'd think they were fake news. Of the billions of dollars that governments and NGOs have invested in Haiti over the decades, and the horrible, low return on investment that those investments have made. In fact, just since the earthquake 11 years ago, over $13 billion has been given to Haiti. Now, that's a sad story, and I don't intend to be negative in my whole sermon, but I wanted to paint the real picture there. And I also want to bring you this good news. There is an untapped strategy that, when employed, will have a significant impact on reaching generations for Christ. I've seen it in Haiti with my own eyes. So let me explain. First thing we have to do is we have to break this stereotype, this paradigm that communities develop. Because when I talk about the billions of dollars invested, guess where most of it went? If it didn't go in the pockets of the corrupt, it went into community development. But here's the thing. Communities do not develop. People develop. And when people develop, they change their environments. They change their communities. They change their families. We have seen it. Many of you have seen it in your own families and friends. People whose lives were destroyed or ruined encounter Jesus Christ, and everything around them eventually changed. We call this transformation. And the key to this kind of transformational development is this. We must start younger. We must emphasize the value of working and transforming children's lives. You know, among the Haitian poor, and I've been in just about every village and community in Haiti over the years. When a poor Haitian family has a child, generally they don't name them until they're about 2 years old, because so many children, because of the high mortality rate, so many children die between birth and age two. So when they introduce or refer to a child that's two or older, they won't refer to them by their real name, like John or Henry or Susie. They'll call them my échappé, my little escapee. That may sound kind of cute, but how sad a reality. And then as you get to know the families, when they introduce their eldest child, they won't refer to them by their name either. They'll call them my bâton vieillesse. My bâton vieillesse is Creole for my cane for old age. You see, they put all their eggs in the one basket of their eldest child to take care of them, because there's no social structure. There's nothing to look forward to care for them when they get old or ill. Here's the thing. Children are the key to this transformational development that I'm talking about, because they are the key to the Great Commission. And they are also essential expressions of the Great Commandment. And children are the untapped strategy of the church. The future of the church worldwide depends on our ability to strategically invest in children. Those of many of you who are here today are sponsors. Some have been sponsoring for a long time with Compassion. Some of you know our history, others may not. But Compassion was started by just one pastor who refused to walk by a hurting child. His name was Everett Swanson. The place was South Korea in the early 50s during the war. One child. God used that one dying child to touch his heart. Today, Compassion's ministry spans the globe. I like to say that the sun is always shining on a Compassion program somewhere in the world. And today, there are over 2 million children and young adults in our church-driven programs. 2 million. And over 2 million have already graduated from our programs since the early 50s. And here's the exciting thing. Millions of children around the world are learning about Christ every single day in Compassion's programs. Isn't that exciting? That's what it's all about, evangelism and discipleship of children. Children account for one of the largest unreached people groups in the entire world. There are over 2 billion children. That's a third of the world's population. And we know now from research in the last few years that of every Christian in the world, you and I, in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, in Canada, in the U.S., Oceania, wherever, that 85% of all Christians have come to Christ before the age of 14. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that telling? You know, we think sometimes subliminally, we think that, oh, we need to work with adults because they're the ones that can make the decisions for Christ. You know, most Christians, almost 90% of them, make that decision for Christ as a child, as a young person. I love the story in Mark 10. It's one of my favorite stories. You know it. I won't recite it or read it, but it's Jesus having a Q&A session, a question and answer session with the disciples and some Pharisees. And as typical, the men would be up front near Jesus, throwing questions at him. The women and the children relegated to the background. Because in those days, like today, women and children aren't always valued, especially children. Children are the ultimate silent majority. They were in Jesus' day. They are in our day today. I've traveled to over 61 countries in the world. I can attest that this is true globally. Children bear far more of their share of the world's miseries. Society's ills spiral downward and inflict their cruelest blows on these vulnerable little ones. You see, when an adult goes hungry, a child starves. When an adult gets sick, children die from the very same symptoms. When families are destroyed by abuse and divorce and violent crimes, children blame themselves and they carry the appalling scars on their tender souls. We need to understand that one of Satan's most effective tools in disarming the potential of children is poverty. Poverty is no coincidence. It's not just something that kind of happened. Poverty is a strategic tool of Satan, and he aims the laser beam of poverty at children. You see, poverty gives damaging messages, and by that, I don't mean billboards. I mean Satan whispering in the hearts and minds of children. He whispers, "You don't matter. You can't do anything. You will fail, and your life will be a failure just like your family before you, your parents and your grandparents." And these lies, these whispers, some of these whispers come through circumstances. Some of it come through other people. But these lies breed fatalism and apathy, and worst of all, hopelessness. You see, it's not what we do for children, but what we do in children that matters. When, after the earthquake in Haiti, the people and organizations were distributing food and blankets and tents and all wonderful things which brought comfort to people. But as I met families and as I talked to people, we realized that children were suffering on the inside as a result of the earthquake, not just being cold at night, or not just being hungry, or not just having pain from a broken limb. They were suffering on the inside. They had shock, fear, anger, nightmares, sorrow, loneliness, depression. All of those things were obviously present in the hearts and the psychology of children. Our challenge as the church, as Christ followers, is to impact young children while they can still hope and still dream. You see, the most loving and strategic intervention that can be done for children is to bring them through the local church's ministry to their Heavenly Father. When a child comprehends that God loves them, their self-worth soars. They almost are oblivious to their surroundings, those same surroundings that Satan whispered in their ear about. They take their first step out of poverty when they find Jesus Christ. I like to put it this way. When a child in poverty accepts Jesus Christ and he comes into their heart, they go from being worthless to priceless in one single
step.
Now, the great Christian researcher Barner tells us that we are actually in a war. This is not a game. It's not about program. We are in a war. And Satan says, if I control the children, I control the war. We know from lots of research that theological knowledge is developed in a child by the age 14. What you believe at age 14, you will die believing, barring some miraculous intervention. In human development, there is no more critical period than the decade encompassed by what we call in mission work the 4-14 window, age 4 to age 14. Now, the term mission has become pretty sterile and fuzzy. We think about it, you know, we think of mission videos and the old slideshows or whatever. It's not fuzzy. It's not sterile. We are engaged in war. It's not about programs. It's not about community development. It's not about handouts and relief. Ministry to children is actually the front lines of the war. And Satan's goal is to recruit and neutralize the emerging generation of spiritual warriors. The church's goal, however, to quote Jesus in Mark 10, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." When a child comprehends that God loves them, their divine potential is unleashed. We've all heard about the child soldiers in northern Uganda a few years ago. I see God raising kingdom child soldiers. Their weapons are not machetes and sticks and guns. Their weapons are truth and justice, hope and compassion. Their battlefield is the world. And their battle cry is, "Jesus saves." I tell you, it is so important for us to understand the strategy of ministry to children. So children are not only the wealth of the poor, as the Haitian proverb goes. Children are the wealth of the church. We must think strategically, and we must act decisively. There's no doubt in my mind how to do that. We make children the key part of our strategy, and we make the gospel the center of our message. In the past 50 years, Compassion Haiti has seen over 309,000 children go through their programs. 10% of all the teachers in Haiti, in all the schools, public and private, are Compassion graduates. Almost every church, the stats are 90-some percent of all the churches in Haiti, interdenominational, doesn't matter, have someone in leadership who was a Compassion sponsored child, one of our alumni. Tens of thousands of Haitian children have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have become the salt and light in what is one of the world's darkest countries. Here's why I joined Compassion, and here's why I believe it's still the best thing going. Compassion is Christ-centered, we are child-focused, and we are church-driven. Christ is why we exist. Christ is the main thing we do. Feeding children, community development, healthcare, education, those are not the main things we do. Christ is our reason for being. We specialize in children, which means we have to say no to a lot of other things. And every single Compassion project, over 8,000 of them, our partnership with the local church. So they are driven, run, organized by the local church. So here's what you can do. You can join me today and many others at Hope, and you can become a missionary to one of these Haitian children. We are focusing at Hope on northern Haiti, the area of Cap Haitien. I've been there many times. I've got so many stories. I could tell you everything from being served cat at a restaurant on the menu to being hijacked in my car. I could tell you so many stories, but that particular area is where we are focusing. And we have children available from that area for you to sponsor, for you to become a missionary to them. So you can do that today. In fact, we'd love you to do it today. There's two ways you can do it. You can click on the link and do it online. We've collected a whole group of those children, and we're reserving them just for Hope, and we'll keep them reserved until about March the 20th. After that, we'll let any leftover go, and other people in Canada can sponsor them. here today at church, you can pick up a child packet as you leave, fill out the form, and send it in. Please, please, don't hesitate. You can be a strategic partner with the church in Haiti to change that country. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, and then we're going to show a little quick video from Haiti, and that'll be it. Father, thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for what you are doing in that country of Haiti. When most people see it as the armpit of the world, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, you see it as one of the greatest opportunities, the greatest place of potential for the kingdom of God to grow and make a difference. And so, Lord, we pray for the 100,000+ Compassion children that are in our program now, for the hundreds of thousands that have gone through our program, and we pray that you would anoint these children and use them to bring many to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, church family, it's our time to respond. I have personally been in different countries where the work of compassion is taking place, and I can testify to you, it's a worthy and great gospel-centered work. This is our time to respond. As a church, over the years, we've sponsored over 100 children in the area of Cap Haitien together. Now we can do more. I pray that you will pray that God would lead your heart to consider how you can be a missionary in Haiti right from where you sit today by sponsoring a precious child or two or three today. Let's join and partner with Compassion in this worthy work. You will be blessed as you see God use you and your family through the ministry of child sponsorship. Let's pray and consider that right now. All the information is on the screen right now in terms of how you can go about doing it. But I pray and trust that you will respond in Jesus' name.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.